Thank you for joining us for today's Practical Living broadcast, and I pray that through this message that you will learn how to apply God's Word and truths to any situation in your life. Stay with us as we discover God's truths that will transform us.
We're involved in a series of messages I started last week entitled Forward. We're talking about the importance of moving forward in our lives. And I want to talk to you this weekend about the phrase, get up and get going. Get up and get going. When you talk about moving forward in your life, there's a key word there, and that is moving, and moving involves motion. You cannot go forward unless there's some motion happening in your life. And if you're going to have motion, you have to be awake to move forward. There has to be a sense of what's going on around you. You cannot move forward very well in your sleep. And to have motion, you got to get up and get going in your life. And perhaps all of you realize that from time to time, and maybe every morning of your life, you need something to help you in the morning get up and get going. And no, I'm not talking about a cup of coffee. I'm talking about something that happens before the cup of coffee. It's something that's probably sitting by your bedside. For some of you, it's perhaps on your wrist that you wear, if you have one of those smart devices on your wrist. But it's called an alarm or an alarm clock. And an alarm clock is designed to get you up and get you going. And often when we hear the word alarm, it can have a negative connotation to us. But I want to bring the concept of alarm today from the negative side of the ledger over to the positive side of the ledger, because an alarm can be a very good thing if it gets you up and gets you going. The word alarm literally means a call or an alert to something, your signal to something that gets your attention. It is a call in your life. And I want to encourage all of you today to know something down in your heart and mind, to think about this with me today, that God today in this season of your life is sounding an alarm clock. God is seeking to get your attention. In fact, the reality is God is always seeking to get our attention. The Bible says of God that he is a jealous God, and by that he means he longs for relationship with us. Not jealousy as we think of it, but jealousy in the sense of I longed for a relationship with you. I long to have your attention. And so often he will bring an alarm clock into our lives. He will wake us up. We'll talk more about that in a moment. And he uses a variety of things to get your attention. Sometimes God will use circumstances to get your attention. There'll be moments in life where you're facing something and you hadn't been thinking very much about God, but something comes up and it stirs you. I need God in my life. And some challenging moment or challenging circumstance gets your attention. You place your attention on God. Sometimes it's a person that shows up in your life. I like to think of Andrew and Simon Peter. It was Andrew that went to Simon Peter and told him about Jesus. And it's through Andrew's word, Andrew's influence, that Peter's attention came to Jesus. And oftentimes, in fact, all the time, God is trying to get his attention, your attention, through his word. God is speaking all the time. Some folks say, well, I'm not sure that I will ever be able to hear God speak to me. And I want you to know today that yes, you can. The Bible says in John chapter 10 that he is our good shepherd, and the good shepherd, the sheep hear the voice of the good shepherd. And the Bible says that God's word is his voice to us. And so if you ever want to hear God speaking, all you have to do is literally pick up your Bible and open it up and begin to read. And God is talking to you. So he speaks to us through his word. Every time you have a devotional moment in his word, every time you come to a service like this and you hear the word of God spoken, it's God talking to you. He wants your attention. Sometimes God gets your attention through very unusual things. In the Bible, there's a story in the Old Testament of a man by the name of Balaam. And Balaam was going off track, moving away from God's will for his life. And he was headed in the wrong direction, riding a donkey. And God wanted to get Balaam's attention. And does anyone remember that story, what happened? The donkey came into a wall and brushed up against the wall, and then the donkey starts talking to Balaam. I will tell you, if your donkey starts talking to you, you need to know God's trying to get your attention. Okay? All kind of stories. There are supernatural moments that happen to people in the Bible. For example, the Apostle Paul was trying to figure out where he was supposed to go in his ministry, and he's trying to go in one direction, but the Lord gives him a vision. It's called the Macedonian vision or the Macedonian call. And he says, there's a man in the vision saying, come over here and help us. And so God used a supernatural event. What I'm trying to say to us today is this: God wants your attention, and he uses all kinds of things to get your attention. Last weekend, I introduced to you a message, or actually a passage, two passages of Scripture that really are the foundation of this message series in the book of Deuteronomy. And I want to take you back to both of those just for a moment and let you see how God was seeking to get the attention of his people. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, here's the background of that very quickly. If you missed the message last weekend, I would encourage you to go back online. It's free for you. Just download it, listen to it again, or listen to it for the first time. The children of Israel have come out of their Egyptian slavery, and they're headed out of Egypt, and God takes them to a place called Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, same place as you're going to see in this Scripture. And he stops them there at Mount Sinai to give them his law. Before he takes them to the promised land, he wants to constitute them with his law. He gives them his moral law, and he gives, it's called the Ten Commandments. He gives the ceremonial or the worshiping laws, the aspects of the priesthood, all those kinds of things. He gives some civil laws that are part of that. You see this in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. You see some of these laws that were given. And so God stops them on their journey and says, before you go any farther, I want you to hear what I have to say to you about my law. But then something else happens after they've been there for about 12 months. And this is where Deuteronomy 1 picks up. They've been there at this mountain for about a year. And notice what God says. The Lord our God said to us at Horeb at Mount Sinai, you have stayed, what's the phrase again? Long enough at this mountain. And here God says, I want your attention. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Araba and in the mountains in the western foothills and the Negev and along the coast to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I've given you this land. Go in. He's getting their attention. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, and their descendants after them. God speaks and says to them, you stayed long enough at this mountain. You've been here a year. It's time to break camp and advance. I want you to get moving. Are you paying attention to me? There's a second aspect of this story that we're looking at in chapter 2, because when we come to chapter 2, Moses is reminding the children of Israel of another event that had happened. They'd come eventually out of Mount Sinai and made their way through the wilderness. And in fact, they had wandered around in the wilderness for almost 40 years, somewhere between 38 and 39 years by the time we get to Deuteronomy chapter 2. And the Lord comes to them again and says, the Lord said to me, you've made your way around this hill country. What's the phrase again? Long enough. Now turn north. God steps in to a set of circumstances, to a group of people that he loves and cares for deeply, and he gives them a call. He gives them an alarm clock. He says, wake up. It's time for you to move forward in your life. You've been at this mountain long enough. And what is the right response when God tries to get your attention? The right response when God seeks to get your attention is to give him your attention. And I want to talk to you today about this word alarm, not from a negative perspective, but from a positive perspective. I want to talk about this very important concept of the fact that God wants you to experience this experience called alarm. I'm going to use the acronym ALARM and give you five words that will help you to understand what it means to respond to God with attention. And the first thing that's needed is you have to wake up. When God sounds his alarm clock, it's important for you to wake up from your sleep, from your slumber, from your comfort, from your apathy, from your complacency. God says, I'm sounding an alarm clock. As you've been where you are long enough, it's time to move forward. Now, don't hit the snooze button, okay? Don't hit the snooze button, because all of us have the tendency when we're startled and awake to slap that little snooze button beside us and say, you know what? I'll come back around to this later. Just give me 10 more minutes. And then after those 10 minutes, just give me 10 more minutes. And it can go on perpetually. And the same is true in our relationship with God, that when God speaks to us and tries to get our attention, as he's doing in this season, we have the tendency, instead of waking up, we have the tendency to want to hit that snooze button and say, Lord, I'll come back around to this later. I want to encourage you, as God is talking to you and to me in this season, as he's sounding an alarm and he's saying, you've been where you've been in your life long enough. It's time to move forward. I want to encourage you to wake up. Everybody say, wake up, okay? Wake up. Now, why is waking up so important? Maybe you've never thought about this before. But why is it important for you to wake up just in the natural for a moment? Because you miss a lot of things if you don't wake up, right? If you decide to sleep in every day of your life, I promise you it's just going to be a matter of time that your life will be in really big trouble, okay? You'll no longer have a job. You sleep in every day. Chances are, if you're married, you're not going to have a marriage. If you have a family, chances are your family is going to deteriorate. You won't have the resources needed for your life, because every day when the alarm clock sounds, it is sounding for a purpose. The purpose is there's a possibility for a brand new day in front of you. And so when God speaks to us and he seeks to awaken us, he's trying to awaken us to the possibilities of a new life, a new day, a new season that is before us, because he loves us and because he has an incredible plan for our lives. He does not want you to sleep your way through your life. Deuteronomy 1 and 2, we saw it. It was a wake-up call. And God is giving us one today as well. The Bible is very clear about God wanting to wake you up. Take a look, if you will, with me at Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And do this. Paul says, do this. It's something you need to do. Understanding the present time. In other words, know the time you're living in. The hour has already come for you to do what? Wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Paul says you need to wake up. The culture that we're living in is a culture that's going the wrong direction. You better be awake, because if not, you're going to be pulled down by the cultural pull in the wrong direction. So it's know the present day, know the present hour. Let me tell you, as I remind you today, if it was true back in Paul's day, it certainly is true in our day. The culture is going opposite from God. The culture of the world around us is not moving toward God. The culture around us is moving away from God. And if you're not awake, I promise what will happen to you is you'll be on a raft drifting in the wrong direction with your life. Wake up, because the time of our salvation, the time of Jesus coming back, is nearer than it's ever been before. And then we see here in Ephesians 5:14, this is why, again, Paul writing, inspired by the Spirit of God, says this is why it said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and notice this, what will happen? Christ will shine on you. A beautiful thing about waking up is that when you wake up and you get up in the morning on a sunshiny day, it provides the opportunity for that sun to shine in upon your life and for you to experience the warmth of that day, the warmth of that sun. The same is true that when you wake up spiritually, Christ begins to shine upon you in a new and fresh way. There's an alarm clock going off in your world right now. And that alarm clock is a God alarm clock. He's trying to get your attention. And the question is, will you hit the snooze button and say, I'll do this later. Give me 10 more minutes. Give me another few years, God, and then I'll get really serious with you. Lord, wait till I grow up. Then I'll get serious with you. The best time, dear ones, the best time to wake up is now. Why? Because there are possibilities in front of you in this moment of your life. The second word that I want to give you today, if you're going to wake up, you have to listen. You have to, if you're going to move forward, you got to listen. Part of waking up is you become conscious. You now are capable of responding and interacting with the world around you. When you're sleeping, have you ever tried to have a conversation with someone asleep? Doesn't work, does it? Okay. Because they're out of the world. They're out of the conscious realm. And so the same is true for us, that when we begin to wake up, then we have the ability to hear, the ability to listen. And so as we're awakening to God, we need to tune our ears to God in a new and fresh way, because as I said to you a moment ago, God is always speaking. God is trying to say something to you in your life right now. It's likely different, at least in some degree, for each one of us, but God is trying to say something to you in this moment. As he wakes you up, it's because he has a message for you. And what we have to do is we have to shut out the noise of the world. We have to shut out the noise of our own sinful nature and our own sinful desires. We have to shut out the voices of the wrong people in our lives. Can I get an amen right there? Okay. You got to shut out some voices in your life so that you're tuning in to the one voice that really matters, to tune in your ears to the voice of Almighty God, to lean in to him. Anytime you're having a very meaningful conversation where you're listening to another person, I would assure you in most cases there's something called body language. And when there's a body language of listening, you are leaning in toward the person who's speaking. There's a leaning in their direction. The same is true for us with God. We lean into him by getting into his word, by directing our attention to him, by asking him for clarity and understanding in our lives. What it is, what are you speaking to me, Lord? Give me the ears to hear so that I can understand your word to my life. What are you saying to me? Give me the ability to listen. Here's some verses. Proverbs 1:5. I love these verses. Let the wise do what? So what's a prerequisite to becoming wise? You got to listen. And add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. Look at this verse. Proverbs 8:6. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. If you want to know who to trust, I promise you, the voices of the world are not trustworthy. If you want to know whose voice to trust, you need to tune into God, because he has trustworthy things to say. God says, I open my lips to speak what is right. Luke chapter 8, Jesus says this. Very powerful, interesting statement that Jesus makes, because one day he was asked the question, who's your family? And he replied, my mother and brothers are those who do what? Hear God's word and put them into practice. Part of the way that we demonstrate being a part of the family of God is by listening to God's word. He says, these are the folks that are my mother and brothers, those who hear the words that I am speaking. The very last book of the Bible, you'll find this principle emphasized multiple times. And Revelation 2 is one example, verse 29, whoever has ears. It's not talking about physical ears, but spiritual ears. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Let him listen. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let me ask you a question today. Are you listening? I've never met a person, nor have I ever experienced in my own life, making the statement, I wish I had not listened to God. I've often said, I wish I'd listened to God. How about you? Anybody here today say there are times in your life? Every one of us can look back at a certain point in time in our life. We would say, I wish I listened to God. You never say, I wish I had not listened to God. You say, I wish I had listened to God. And my prayer for my own life, and my prayer for your life, and all of us as we head into our future, is that we would tune in to the voice of God so that we very rarely have to say that statement, if ever again, I wish I had listened to God. I want us to be people who say, I have listened to God and I've grown wise. I've heard the trustworthy sayings of God. Here's the next one. We're going through the ALARM acronym here. The next one, if you're going to wake up, if you're going to get up and get going, you've got to act. You've got to act, okay? When you wake up, you do things, right? Everybody hears, and some of you could just sort of visualize it in your mind this morning. You may not even think about it, but as soon as you finally get up, the alarm clock sounds and you get out of bed, I would imagine that 99.9% of the time you do the same things. You have a routine. Nothing wrong with that. You do certain things. I do this first and this next. And you have the routine before you head out of the house. There's a pattern to your life. But the key thing is that when you wake up, you're engaged in some kind of action. You do something. And God's word, anytime it comes to us, is always about action. God is not interested, listen closely, God is not interested in just making you spiritually smarter so you have a whole bunch of spiritual knowledge in your head. There are a whole bunch of spiritual eggheads walking around. They have a lot of spiritual knowledge up here, but very little action. God is big on action. He says, what I want you to do is be not just a hearer of my word, but a doer of my word. So God emphasizes this idea of action. Go with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Notice when he's speaking to his people at Horeb or Mount Sinai, he's calling them to take the next step. He says, I want you to break camp and advance. Both of those things are what? Actions. If you've ever gone camping, you know that when the camping trip is over, the tent doesn't pack itself. And all the things that you've had out there, they don't pack themselves, and all of a sudden everything's in order. No, you say it's time to break camp. We've got to pull up the tent pegs. We have to fold the tents. We have to pack all the gear back up and take it back home. There's processes involved. There's an action that's involved in breaking camp. And the same is true with advancing. That is moving forward in your life. The same is true in Deuteronomy chapter 2. He says, you've been at this mountain, this hill country, long enough. Here's the action. Do what? Now turn north. Please notice that word. What is that word? Turn. Now turn north. That's an action. Explain it this way. The reason God said to turn north was because they were facing the wrong direction. You will never tell someone who's already facing the right direction to turn, would you? Okay? It's not even logical, okay? If you're already facing the right direction, you don't need to say turn. Why? Because you're headed the right way. And so it's implied here that they were looking the wrong way. And so God comes and says, the first action that I want you to take is before you try to do anything else, I need to get you reoriented. So I'm calling you to turn, to make a turn in your life. So there's a fresh orientation in the right direction. And Jesus himself emphasized this word also. It's in a different form, but the same concept. What is the first action that we take in response to God? Notice what Jesus said in the very first sermon that he preached. Notice, if this is the first message that Jesus ever preached, from that time on, that's after his baptism and his trial or temptation in the wilderness, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, what's the next word there? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. That word repent literally means to turn, to change. To change the direction of your thinking and change the direction of your life. And so let's go back to where we've been so far today. God's sounding an alarm clock. Why? Because he wants you to wake up. When you wake up, what do you need to do? You need to start listening. And why are you listening? So you'll take action in your life in a very meaningful way. What's the first action that you take? You turn, you repent. You say, I need to change some ways about how I think. I need to change some of my living patterns. And with God's grace and God's power, I want to turn toward his kingdom, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from the kingdom of myself to the kingdom of the God who loves me. So God sends his alarm to cause us to take action in our life, to make some turns in our life. Can I ask you today, what turns do you need to make in your life? What changes need to make in your life? It is not complex. If you sit down and just take a pen and a piece of paper and say, where can my life get better? If you're married, ask your spouse. They would love to tell you where you need to change, okay? Very important. Here's our next word. What is the word? R, rally. Now, I specifically chose this word, spent some time working on this word, chose it for a very specific reason. The reason I chose the word rally is because it starts with an R. Okay. Okay. No, it's more than that. Okay. I wasn't just fishing for an acronym. The word rally is very important. Because the word rally means to muster. That's the idea of the word rally. It means to arouse something. It means to renew your effort. It means to come back or to be inspired by something. In former days, military troops on the battlefield would have a trumpeter, and the trumpeter would sound a battle cry, and that battle cry would rally the troops to victory. It would say, let's go forward and let's win some battles here. There's a sounding of a trumpet that says, let's come together and do something meaningful. When I was in high school and played different sports in high school, I'm not sure if it's the case any longer, but certainly in my high school that I grew up in, we would have something called pep rallies. Do they still have those nowadays? Okay. Pep rallies. Why? We got a big football game on Friday night. So on Friday morning or Friday in the middle of the day, we have a pep rally. Why? Because we're working toward victory. We're believing that something good's going to happen when that football team hits the gridiron that night, that we're going to win that particular game. And so there's a rallying idea to waking up as well. You take action, but you do so with the mindset of victory. It is faith inspiring. It is hope imparting. It is victory assuring that you're rallying and believing that I can move forward to a place of victory in my life. God wants you to be rallied, and an alarm clock rallies you to a place believing that victory can be yours, that breakthroughs can happen, that change can occur in your life. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, powerful verses of Scripture. It's a rallying point for the people of God and for you and I, where God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. You can't live in the old and embrace the new at the same time. The Bible says you can't sew an old piece of cloth onto a new garment. You can't put new wine into old wineskins. And so God says, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wastelands. God says, I'm doing something new in your life, and I'm rallying you to believe that this can be a new season. God is saying, I'm encouraging you to lay hold of faith and hope, a confidence that this can be something wonderful for your life, that as you wake up in the morning and you head into a brand new day, if you will, spiritually, you're saying, God, I'm leaving some old things behind. I'm embracing some new things, and it's going to be good. There's victory ahead for me. Rally yourself to victory. The last point that I want to give you today, and the last letter in this acronym that we're looking at together, it's the letter M, and I want you to think about moving forward. We've already talked about that somewhat, but I want to bring it to our frame of reference a little differently. As I mentioned, an alarm clock is designed to not only get you up, but get you moving, to take some action, to be rallied towards certain things. And it moves you to embrace a new day. That's the point I want to bring for just for a moment. It's a little bit different twist on what we've talked about so far. If you're going to move forward into something fresh and new in your life, you have to embrace it. You have to embrace it. To embrace a day is more than just getting up in the morning. A lot of people get up in the morning every morning, but they never embrace the day, okay? To embrace is to throw your arms around it with enthusiasm. That's the idea. See, when you wake up in the morning, I want to encourage you, as we're starting a new year together, as we're moving into our future together, I want to encourage you, instead of waking up every morning and say, good Lord, it's morning. But begin to wake up every morning and say, good morning, Lord. Just the flipping of those words are very significant. Because one says, good Lord, it's morning, it's awake, I got to live today, I guess. The other one says, good morning, Lord. I'm embracing the day with the reality that you've got something today. Because, listen, you can't embrace a week. You can't embrace a month. You can't embrace a year. You can't embrace a decade. You can only embrace the moment that you're in. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And God is not calling you to live a month at a time. God's not calling you to live a year at a time. God is calling you to live one day at a time. And so every morning you can wake up and say, good morning, Lord. Today, this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice. I will throw my arms around this Sunday. I will throw my arms around Monday. I will throw my arms and walk your way through each day of the week and say, this is my day. Because by the way, you don't know if you will even have a tomorrow. Nor do I. None of us know how long we're going to live. There's going to be a moment in time when we will not have a next day. It will happen to all of us, and for some it's shorter, some it's longer, but for everyone, one thing is assured, one out of one people die. There's your stat, okay? Unless Jesus comes back again, some point, someday, the Bible says it's appointed and the man wants to die, but after that, the judgment. And so one day, you're going to have your last day, and you will then give an account to God for how you've lived your life, how you lived it one day at a time, making the most of each day in God's plan and purpose, moving forward each day as God wants you to move forward. But the key is moving forward. God wants to move you forward one step at a time each and every day. I'm going to take you to a passage of Scripture that is a very significant passage in the life of the people of God, because they'd just come out of slavery, actually just been released from slavery. The Pharaoh in Egypt had finally said yes to Moses and let the people of God go. And so they're on their way out, and they've been led down a certain path. They end up at the Red Sea, and they look at the Red Sea. It's in front of them, and there's no way they can cross. They don't have a bridge to get across. It's this massive body of water. There are no ships waiting there for them to get them across. No, they are stopped at the Red Sea. So now they've been liberated by word of mouth from Pharaoh, and they're on their way out of Egypt. All these slaves, as many as 2 million of them, they're coming up to the Red Sea, and they get to this obstacle that's called the Red Sea in front of them, and then they hear chariots and horses behind them. Now think with me for a moment, all their excitement of now we're free, we're heading out, we're going to have liberation in our life. And they come up to the Red Sea, and there's the obstacle in front of them and the obstacle behind them. And they wonder, what are we going to do now? Because the Egyptian soldiers are closing in on us, 600 chariots are coming our way. And notice what happens. God speaks to Moses in a very clear way and to his people and says, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Because Moses was crying out to God in this situation. Tell the children of Israel to do what? What do you think God is telling you today? Tell the children to do what? Tell, put your name right there, to go forward. You've got to start speaking this into your life, into your world. I'm telling myself, I'm going forward. I'm telling myself, I'm going to put my name right there. It's interesting because what happened was Moses was instructed to take the rod and to stretch it out over the Red Sea, and God was going to part. And indeed, the children of Israel had to start moving forward before the obstacle moved out of the way. And there are many times in your life that you're going to have to start moving forward in the face of your obstacle. And the beautiful thing is that when you start moving forward, even though there is no way, you can't see how I will get to where I need to be in my life. I can't see it. It seems as though everything is obstructing my journey forward. You start marching forward, and God did this for the children of Israel. He parted the Red Sea. He made a way where there was no way. And when you and I start marching forward with God, even though we can't see what's going to happen, we can trust that as we go forward, God in your life will make a way where there is no way. Okay? There'll be things that'll happen that'll move the obstacles out of the way, but you have to walk in faith. You have to move forward. Paul describes this, and with this we're going to conclude today. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, Living Bible. I don't mean to say I'm perfect. Boy, Paul said that, it makes me feel a lot better. How about you, okay? I haven't learned all I should even yet, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers, I'm still not all I should be, but I'm bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain. I work hard. I put the energy. I take the steps needed. I'm moving forward. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God is calling me up to heaven because of what Christ Jesus did for us. I want you to please note this phrase as I'm wrapping up today, what Christ Jesus did for us. Can I ask you just for a moment, what did Jesus do for you? What did he do for me? Let's just recount very quickly here a few things. First of all, he came from heaven to earth. He was born supernaturally into our world. And he came down where we were because we couldn't get to God. God came to us. Amen? Anybody glad for that, right? He took the initiative, okay? He taught us. We've got records of what he taught us, right? In the Bible called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the epistles that build on what Jesus said. He didn't leave us without information about how we are to live. And so we have the records of Jesus' teaching, the records of Jesus' words, things like, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Are you appreciative of the teaching that Jesus gave us? What Christ Jesus did for us. Are you appreciative of that? Are you? Okay. You guys are awake today. Just want to make sure. Do we need some alarm clocks in the room? Okay. He went to the cross knowing that we couldn't pay the price for our own sins. It was impossible for us to make things right with us and God because we're unholy. We break the law of God. The problem is not outwardly, it's inwardly. And so we can't fix it by our behavior. So Jesus said, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die on the cross for your sins. I'm going to take your place. And I'm going to rise from the grave so that those who put their faith in me will have a relationship with me now through his Spirit, through the Spirit of God, so you can live for me. So he forgave us of our sins. He gave us a place for eternity so that we could have a relationship with God. Anyone grateful for that? Now, I don't want to lose you here. We're talking about what Christ Jesus did for us, right? Is that what we're talking about, right? Let me tell you one more thing that we oftentimes don't recognize in our lives. Another thing that Christ Jesus did for you is Christ Jesus did for you this wonderful act of providing the opportunity and the possibility that you don't have to live life going backwards, but you can live life going forward. Amen, okay? Jesus did that for you. That's what Paul was talking about. He says, I'm looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the goal for which Christ Jesus rescued me. And so God says, I sent my son, yes, to die for your sins, to bring his word and all those things we talked about, but I also sent my son so you don't have to live your life going the wrong direction. You can live your life going forward. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, we thank you for your word today. We're grateful for the word of God, how it speaks to us. We ask in the name of Jesus that something that's been said today would find deep resonance in our hearts. And thank you that you're sounding a good alarm clock in our lives, Lord, that will move us forward with you. And I pray that we would respond. Lord, I pray that if we're tempted to hit the snooze button, help us to say, nope, we're going to get up and get going. And help us by the power of your Holy Spirit for that. We thank you in Jesus' name.
I would like to close today by giving you an opportunity to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Would you pray with me right now? Right where you are, just simply bow your head with me, and I'm going to give you a prayer to pray, and you can simply speak this prayer out, whisper this prayer out, and from the sincerity of your heart, call upon God, and I promise you that He will hear and answer you. So let's pray together. Start by simply whispering the name Jesus. Let there come from your heart just the declaration of His name. Say, Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, that I have fallen short with you. I'm sorry for all of my sins. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are God's Son. I believe that you are the Savior of the world. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave, that you are alive today. Now pray these words. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me a new start in you. I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to encourage you with a promise from God's Word that says that when we call upon God's name, we call upon the Son of God, there is salvation that comes to our lives. He changes us from the inside out, and you become a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. And that's exactly what has happened to you today. Your next step really is to make sure that you get into a good Bible-believing church. And you begin to study God's Word, get God's Word in you, and to make sure that you get a copy of the Bible if you don't have one and begin to read it. Spend some time every day in prayer. And I would encourage you also to check out the resources on our website that will help you to get going in your relationship with Jesus. You can find them at church-redeemer.org. Get those into your hands. Get started in your new life with Jesus Christ. Thanks again for joining us today. May God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you next time.